Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. I did it. I did it perfectly. Can you believe it? It's me, Alec Mappa, and it's just me today because Lonnie Love is busy taking over show business. You know, she got a horror movie, and there's a lot of lines because she's the lead. She's the lead. The lead has all the lines. So she's learning her lines today. So it's just going to be me and you, my squirrel friends, my lovely squirrel friends out there. Again, if you have any questions for me, any comments, don't hesitate to text me, DM me on my Instagram at Alec Mappa or at Twitter at Alec Mappa. I am doing so much better now. I'm home. Oh my God, you guys. I was away with COVID for 2 weeks. In a house several blocks from my own house. And I wasn't able to go home. I was so sick and so lonely and so sad. And now I'm finally home. I'm so happy to be home. I don't have a fever anymore. I'm testing negative. I've been testing negative for the past 4 days. But I've been feeling this thing like fatigue. Like I try to get up in the morning. I do all my errands. I do, you know, go to the grocery store, take my kid to school, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm exhausted. And then somebody told me that 2 weeks after COVID, you get fatigue. So thanks for informing me, everybody. I've been walking around here feeling, why am I not getting better? I'm not getting better because that's the course that COVID is taking. So listen, I got really sick and I had the vaccination. So if you haven't gotten the vaccination, do yourself a favor. Get it. Because when I was sick, I was thinking, Jesus, if this is me with a vaccination, I'm in big, big trouble. So anyway, back to RuPaul's Drag Race. There's so much going on. There's so many great seasons happening right now. There's two seasons that I'm very excited about that I have been watching like a hawk. One is, I talk about it every week, Drag Race Philippines, because those are my people. They are brutal in the Philippines. Well, Filipinos have a way of talking to each other like family. Like if somebody sees you and they haven't seen you in a really long time, they'll say something like, wow, you're fat. Now, in any other culture, you'd be like, that's really awful. That's a horrible way to speak to people. But Filipinos are very blunt and they're no less blunt on this show. The main queen, Paolo, will say things like, I don't like your dress. I didn't enjoy that performance. Very indignant. But the queens are absolutely beautiful. You can watch it on WOW Presents Plus. They're actually beautiful, beautiful girls. And it's strange for me as a Filipino to watch Filipino drag queens being celebrated and being lauded and being out in the open and happy, because that's not the world I grew up in. It's just great to see my culture accepting that part of my culture. Like, I feel like my cultures are coming together. That's Alec Mappa. That's what I have to say about Drag Race Philippines. The other show, Drag Race UK, you gotta watch it. There is this Caribbean queen who is performing on it named Black Peppa. Black, B-L-A-C-K, Peppa, P-E-P-P-A. She's incredible, incredible performer. There is, if you want to watch an example of her, Google her lip sync to This Is Real from UK Drag Race on the YouTubes. She's an absolute knockout, and I'm calling it. She's going to win. And if she doesn't, well, then I don't know what I'm going to do. There's no justice. There will be no justice, no peace. Listen, we have a great show for you today because I have a very special guest. It's Meryl Streep. No, I'm kidding. It is somebody even better, Mark Indelicato. Mark Indelicato from RuPaul's Secret Celebrity Drag Race, who I've known since he was 11 years old, which when we worked together on Ugly Betty, and he's all grown up, and he's turned out to be a fantastic human being. And we had a great conversation, and I can't wait to bring it to you. So let's take a little break, and when we come right back, we'll be here with our very special guest star, Squirrel Friends, Mark Indelicato. We'll be right back.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today we have a great guest. I have known him for a long time. I feel like I raised him, honestly. Since he was a kid, I've known him since he was a kid. We were on Ugly Betty together, and I'm so excited to talk to him about making the top three this season on Secret Celebrity Drag Race. Here to quench your thirst, please welcome to the podcast, Thirsty Von Trapp, a.k.a. Mark Indelicato. Do you know what? Seeing you is like seeing like a nephew I grew up, like seeing at weddings or something. Do you know, like every time I did about 36 episodes of Ugly Betty. So they would just drop me in and we would just see each other in the hallways.
That's right.
Yeah, and you were always with your mom, who was so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Mom.
Was that a safe space for you immediately?
It was like, I think it was the most formative space that I've ever been in. I mean, I think that
it
just changed my, I mean, it just opened up my world in a way that I don't think that I would have had access to if I wasn't, like if I would have stayed, you know, growing up in suburban Pennsylvania. I mean,
is that where you were? You were in suburban Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I was born like right outside of Philly.
Wow.
And so it was just like it opened up my world in a way. Like I remember when I was young and we first started the show, I think that I remember my mom saying something like, I've never been around so many gay people at once in my life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like things like that, that, you know, now, you know, we're so, I mean, now it's just, it was just a different time.
Yeah, it was a different time. And also, you know, Sylvia Horta, who produced the show, God rest his soul, passed away a couple years ago.
Yes.
He was one of the first people to bring together a comedic ensemble that was this diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? Mm-hmm. And there were so many firsts for that. And I remember seeing your performance in one of the first couple seasons. And I remember it so distinctly because it made me think of you so much. It was the episode where you were on the subway and singing from Hairspray, the musical.
Yeah.
And Tony Plana, who knows everybody in the world.
That's right.
Or maybe it was Anna Ortiz, looks at you singing and performing and being yourself. And they say, just leave him alone.
Yeah.
And that to me, that's not the house I grew up in. They would have shut that down for me immediately. I was 100%. That kid who was always going like, tone it down. Will you just kind of
right.
Easy,
I mean,
easy.
And I think that that was also for the sake, because the time was so, I mean, you know, 2006, 2007 wasn't like a long time ago in the grand scheme of most people's lives. But I think like sociopolitically and socioculturally, it was a really long time ago, you know, in terms of like representation and you know, being seen.
Rebecca Romijn playing a trans woman, that wouldn't happen now.
I don't think that it necessarily should.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, talking about a minor's sexuality in a way, like that, you know, also I do think that Silvio and the writers did a really incredible job in walking that tightrope about like talking about a minor and his sexuality without sexualizing the character.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that the sexualization of myself and of Justin came from outside sources, came from like the media, came from all of that of like sexualizing a child. But I don't think that Silvio and the writers did that
at all.
That wasn't the intention. So then they walked that line.
Yeah. But the fact that you were on it and that age and the last Latino gay character on television before you was Wilson on My So-Called Life and everything. And here you were even younger. Now, you were a little boy when you were like...
I was 11.
You were 11 years old when I met you.
Yes.
And as you grew and as the scripts changed as you grew older, were you able to digest that understanding of that character?
Sure. I mean, I think that like the thing that made me the most uncomfortable just by happenstance in making the last two seasons was that as Justin's storyline kind of teetered more towards his coming out story, Mark's journey to gayness was happening at the same time.
That must have been so
It was
bizarre.
A mind fuck. Like, it was totally a mind fuck, because it was like, where do I end and where does Justin begin and vice versa?
And where do I have any privacy with this? Where do I have the space to figure it out?
And I don't have, like, the vocabulary or, like, the vernacular at the time to, like, talk about it in a way that made sense to me. And then being asked, like, on red carpets, like, oh, so you're gay. And I'm, like, 13. And you're just wait, hold on. I don't know. I mean, and in hindsight, of course, that feels like, girl, you know, everyone knew. We knew. Everyone be knowing. But, like, but that's your journey. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like,
I know.
It's personal. And, it took me a minute to kind of get over the fact that I had felt like that kind of experience or that journey had been like kind of stolen from me in a way.
Right. And you talked about it on the show that while Ugly Betty was a safe space for you because like, oh my God, our table reads were so incredible. We would have like Patti LuPone one week or Bernadette Peters or all these incredible people. It was like, and then, you know, Pat Fields was like pulling clothes for us, like right off of the runways. And it was really, really gay.
It was really, really gay.
So like, it must have been like, okay, this is the only thing I can compare it to. When you go to Fire Island, everybody's queer. You go to Provincetown, everybody's queer. And then you leave Provincetown or you leave Fire Island, you get back on the train and I'm still cruising everybody like everybody's still queer.
That's right.
Was it like that for you with Ugly Betty going out into the real world? Kind of like, oh, this is my safe space and then this is not my safe space.
I mean, I think that what wasn't my safe space was like all of the things that come with working in Hollywood. I think that's kind of the thing. Like all of my friends and everyone, you know, I went to performing arts high school when we were shooting in New York.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, you know, all of my friends were either gay, queer, or like bisexual, or were so desensitized to queerness and everything like that. It was a non-factor.
Right.
Similarly to like, and I also think that like, hate to say it, but like city kids are kind of just ahead of the curve. You know what I mean? Like they're
like
the way that wider culture thinks about queerness and diversity and things of the like now, you know, we were thinking in that way in like late aughts. So it's like, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like it never mattered in that way. So I think that it was more coming from like dreading going down a red carpet at that time.
Yeah.
Because, and also, by the way, what I will say is that the media is not allowed to talk to kids the way that they used to talk to me anymore.
Really?
If any journalist spoke to a kid the way that I was spoken to at that age,
inappropriate.
They would be fired. Like completely fired, canceled, right? Like we did not, like cancel culture didn't exist.
Who was it?
It was probably some fucking dumb Access Hollywood bullshit. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like whatever, dude. But like,
so fast though. When it happened so fast. All of a sudden, all of us were doing media all the time. That's all I remember.
Yeah.
Speaking of queerness and diversity, we are here to discuss your journey. Your amazing journey as Thirsty Von Trapp. You have a whole new career now. First of all, first things first. How did they approach you? How did they throw out that net?
I got an email from my agent that said they want you to participate on Celebrity Drag Race.
Okay.
And I was like, what? I was like, as what?
Yeah.
You know? And they were like, as a contestant. And I was like, huh? Like I was so confused. I was like, why would you want me to do it?
Had you ever been in drag before?
Like Halloween and stuff. But that doesn't really count.
No.
I mean, not at this. I have never performed in drag. No.
Right.
I mean, to throw on a wig and like paint yourself red and put a dress on and some heels and call it drag. I mean, that's a stretch.
Yeah.
That's just a man in a wig.
I know. It takes it's a whole different skill set to be a queen.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was, and you know, having friends that are drag queens and being just a huge fan of the show, just in general, right? I knew the amount of work, or I thought that I knew the amount of work that it was going to take.
Oh, what took you by surprise? What was the big, like, oh shit?
I'm not a dancer. You know, I'm not Kevin. I'm not AJ. Like, I'm not like people that come from, a person that comes from the dance world.
You're Latino, so you could move on 2 and 4. You had rhythm.
I have rhythm. I have rhythm, but learning how to, like, learning choreographed numbers is a different animal. And then you're doing it in heels. And those motherfuckers like to lace me down to the smallest waist that they could possibly get.
Oh my God.
Half these whores weren't even in a fucking corset.
I want to know The moment you saw yourself as Thirsty Von Trapp for the very first time.
Oh my God, Alec.
Was it a big reveal to you? Yeah. Was it a reveal?
I mean, it was a reveal because I had never been in drag at that caliber I mean, it takes a truly takes a village to make a look like that. Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, all of us, especially like
who did your makeup?
The wonderful Orlando. Mm-hmm. And he turned me out. Well, I didn't have him for the first two episodes, but then at episode three, when I did the Marilyn thing, is when he was the first week that he did my makeup. God. And I was like, I looked in the, that was one of the first time I looked in the mirror and was like,
Oh my God.
Like, you're beautiful. And the
thing is, sexy. I mean, the thing is, like, when I did drag for the first time, I'd never felt sexy as a man because I was socialized in the 80s where everybody was white. And everybody was, and I felt because like I didn't look like that, I wasn't hot. Then when I was in drag for the first time and I felt beautiful, I was like, oh, there's this whole other side to myself.
Yeah.
Is that what that felt like to you?
Yes, of course. And you know, the thing is that because it was Celebrity Drag Race, like there was really no sense of competition among us for the most part. Like we were all there to play for our
charity.
And we were all there to like, because we're fans of the show, we're fans of the art of drag. So like, there was also a lot of reassurance, like from your fellow contestants, because especially as we got down to the wire, like when we got down to like the top four. And, you know, Jamal and Raina and like all of the dancers, I don't know how, I mean,
the dancers were so hot. I don't know how you could have concentrated.
They were too so ridiculous. Gorgeous and they were so nice. Like that was also the thing. Like it was
gorgeous and nice is my favorite combination.
I was just like, oh my God, like this isn't fair. Like you can't have like a body like that, a face like that, dance like that and be nice and supportive. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, but that's what makes me talk to everybody now. Like, I used to be like, oh my God, he's going to be a stuck-up cunt, and there's nothing, you know. And then, but I talk to everybody now, because people are just people.
I didn't talk to them for 3 weeks, Alec. I didn't talk to them for 3 weeks. I did not speak to them. I didn't talk to them, because I went in, and of course, they were like, I had the bright idea to be like, I'm going to be a pole dancer for my first number. And then I got in there and they were all so hot and like I didn't know any of them and I was just like,
Oh my god, and then
I have to like, you know, fucking, you know, drop it like it's hot.
How did it feel to do that in front of RuPaul, the queen of all queens? What part of you is brave enough to go, okay, we're doing this. This is happening.
Yeah. You know, listen, it's scary. RuPaul is an enigma. I don't really have any desire to like figure her out. Because I don't think that I could.
She's figured it out. She's on a different spiritual plane than everybody
else. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I'm not really trying to access that because I don't think I can get there. And and so it was more of a thing where it was like, my whole thing going into the competition was like, don't go home first.
Okay.
And then I made it through. Don't go home second was in the bottom two at the Lip Sync for My Life.
Uh-huh.
Which is the scariest fucking thing. Like,
really?
It's as scary as it looks on TV.
Shooting out a couple drops of pee. Just kind of like, I'm afraid.
I almost shit my pants. Literally, I almost had to ask for the bathroom. Like, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in the bottom. One, because I didn't deserve to be in the bottom. And two, that I was like, oh my God. And now there's no choreographed dance. Now you just have to go out there and like,
yes,
fucking wing it. Like, no, you know, and again, like, I'm not like AJ, I'm not like Kevin, I'm not, you know, that like has the skill set to be able to be like, okay, like, how can I make? I was like, okay, we're doing Shut Up and Drive. I remember Alyssa and Tatiana's.
That's like legendary.
Famous Shut Up and Drive. And so I was like,
oh my God, so good.
I literally just started like trying to like do Alyssa.
Let me tell you my experience of watching you, okay? Because I was rooting for you from the start. Remember, I was like texting you.
Yes.
Or the phone, I was texting you. So I felt like the first two times you were out, you got the choreography right. Your hair was on point. Your makeup was on point. But there was like a disconnect. Yeah. Kind of like you were thinking of the choreography and trying to get it right. And it wasn't until later on in the show where it all came together.
Of course.
Where all of a sudden you were that queen. You were like full blown when you won the Gaga challenge. I was like, she has arrived. Yeah. Did you feel that?
Gaga, I mean, that episode was, I think, you know, what's funny is that I really didn't think that I worked as well under pressure than I actually ended up doing. Like, I think that, like, you know, I was in the bottom two three times. So, you know, when she's lip sync assassinating about, I mean, that's like the highest amount of pressure in the competition setting that you, in this competition
three
setting that you
times,
can.
Terrifying three times, moment, three times.
Three times. And so I felt like I feel like I work really well under pressure. And when we got to the Gaga Snatch Game episode, I was like, I've kind of just like managed to get by the skin of my teeth through this competition to the only acting challenge, the only one in the entire competition.
You were great in that acting challenge. You did it.
And I'm an actor. So I was like, but there was a lot of pressure that I put on myself to be like, okay, if I go home on the acting challenge, going to be it for me. Like, I'm going to be so mad because, like, to go home on, you know, a lip
something I actually know how to do.
Like, this is like this is my trade. Like, this is my career, you know?
You were great.
Thank you.
You were great. You were so funny and fast.
And it was good, and I felt good about it. And then when I did Gaga, I just knew walking out there, because we had done Snatch Game first, right? Like, it went chronologically like that. And then we had an hour to change over. And I knew as soon as I did my intro for Snatch Game, I was like, I'm winning. I'm going to win this challenge. Like, I just, I felt it from the minute that, like, we started.
You had a point of view. You had jokes ready. I mean, the thing is, like, nobody really gets the secret of Snatch Game, which is make Rue laugh.
You have to have
stuff prepared right away.
I have to give, major props to Monet and Juju and Brooklyn, because that was, like, the one thing that I didn't really ask them many questions about, like, about lip sync performance, because they were very vocal about, like, I was disconnected or whatever. Yeah. But when it came to, like, Snatch Game, I was like, okay, I need to nail this. Like, what is... And Brooklyn, I think, was the one that said, it was like, girl, just make Rue laugh. It doesn't even matter. It just doesn't matter. Just be funny.
And Snatch Game is... Just be Snatch funny. Game is one of those things that people don't get, that it's kind of like, you don't have to sound exactly like the person.
No.
You don't have to look at... You don't even have to, you know, like, Alaska's never looked like Mae West or Lady Bunny, but she was hysterical because she was doing her own point of view.
But that was the thing. I wanted to also be... you know, an Erica Jane that was like, I wanted her to sound like she had like a weird sinus infection, because it's like, you wanted it to be as like amped up as possible. And then we walked off the stage to change over into our Gaga looks. And I remember Kevin, Mikhail, Chick LaFay looked at me, because Chick LaFay ended up becoming like my best friend in the competition.
Oh, really?
And me and Chick LaFay became like really good friends. Like, Kevin is such a wonderful person. And
he was great on the show.
Our dressing rooms were across from each other. I mean, but, you know, when we walked off the stage, I remember Kevin going like, bitch, you win. Like, that was fucking wild.
Wow.
And then we did Gaga. And as soon as I went out there in the outfit, and I just knew. Like, I was like,
so
this is my
are week. We going to see her again ever? Is she going to make an appearance?
I don't know.
We're
I
done.
Mean, listen,
we've retired
price,
her.
Listen, there's always the correct price.
I was thinking maybe she could make a guest appearance on Hacks. How's it like working with that incredible cast?
It's the best ever.
I mean, you have every cool person, Megan Stalter and Hannah.
Stalter,
I mean,
Hannah
are you
Armander.
Got and Jean Smart? I mean, and
Jean fucking Smart
and Rose,
Chris McDonald,
Rose, yeah, Rose,
Caitlin
Adu,
Olsen,
just
Poppy
all those
Lou.
People.
I mean, just incredible, incredible, incredible artists. And like, it's like, it's the first time since Betty that I've been like, oh shit. Like, this is my family.
Yeah.
No, and like, this is like my family. Like, I feel like a very, very like familial, visceral connection to them. Similarly to the way that we were on Betty. I mean, I feel like, you know, I talk to Hannah on the phone probably like twice a week for like 2 hours a day. You know, like, we just, it's not even about like, oh, like just checking in. It's just like, oh girl, like you're never gonna, you know what I mean? Like, it was just
That's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. I mean, it's because the cast is so good, and it's such a queer cast and such a queer show. And Jean Smart is just genius,
amazing,
on it, and just amazing.
And she's so generous, like with her time and with her talent. Like, I've just, it's very similar to the way that like Judith Light was on Betty.
Judith Light would like stare at me, like, how are you? Alec, how are you? Like, take my hands and make eye contact with me. And I'd be like, your eyes are burning through my soul. Like, and Vanessa Williams was like that too. She was just so lovely.
So kind.
All right. So listen, we got to wrap this up. I could talk to you forever.
I know.
Because I adore you.
I love you.
So what's next for you? Is the other season of Hacks coming up?
Hacks is, we start filming the third season of Hacks.
Yeah.
In a month and a half or something.
Yeah.
And then my Amazon show With Love, the second season of that is premiering on Amazon Prime sometime in the spring. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, I'm going on vacation.
I love this evolution of your career.
Thank you, Alex.
I love this transition for your career because, you know, not everybody makes it from being a kid transitioning into an adult performer.
I really thought that was going to be me. It was, there were a few years where it was a little dicey. So,
yeah. Oh, for all of us. Oh,
I mean, before the pandemic, it's just kind of like, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, it's like when you're working, it feels like, well, I've always been working.
I'm one of the only bitches that got a job during the pandemic. I got both of my jobs during the pandemic.
good for you.
So I'm just like that.
And they got picked up.
Yeah. Leave it to me.
So where can people find you on social media?
My Instagram is at Mark Indelicato. My Twitter is at Fark Indelicato.
Fark Indelicato.
I don't really do that much on Twitter. It's really more of a news source for me.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
I have a TikTok. It's at Stenosha, but I don't really go on it. I don't understand that. Really? I've aged out of that.
I don't have time.
I'm and people are like, Mark, you're only 28. I'm like, I'm too old. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. 28 is too old for TikTok.
28 is too old for TikTok. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. I don't like hearing that you're 28.
That's Can you believe Anna? Anna like cries about it.
That's yeah.
Anna and America about it.
Anna and America are like really your relatives.
They really
like,
are.
They are like the way they regard you. It's so great. Well, I want to thank you so much,
Alex,
for doing the show. And congratulations on such a great job.
You.
And now that you know that that's what you look like in drag, you can just like get dressed up when you're bored and just look at yourself in the mirror.
Maybe someone will hire me for a gig at Mickey's or something.
There you go. I love you,
love you so much.
I'll talk to you
soon.
Bye,
doll.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a quick break, Squirrel Friends. We'll be right back. Do not go anywhere.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a big thank you to Squirrel Friends for joining me. You know, we know you have many choices when it comes to listening to podcasts. So we're so honored and grateful that you listen to me and Lonnie every week. Lonnie and I will both be back Monday for another brand new episode. So come back. Now, until then, remember to tip your queen on social media. Oh, these girls work so hard to get where they are. I mean, I'm talking like bar gigs where they make no money for years and years and years till they finally get on the show. So when they get on the show, show them love. Show them love. Tell them you appreciate them and it'll make you feel good. Show people love for selfish reasons. You can show me love on Alec Mappa at Instagram and Twitter. I get all of your messages, all of your DMs. I love reading them and I love it when you guys join. I'm nowhere near where Lonnie is at 1 million, but I'm inching up. I'm at 34,000, so watch out. You can find Lonnie at Comic Lonnie Love on Instagram and at Lonnie Love on Twitter. You can listen to Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like this episode, make sure you rate and review us. 5 stars, please. And tell a friend. Just rate and review us. It'll take a second, and it really helps us out. You can catch up on past episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race and All Stars on Paramount Plus. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.